Happy New Year. May the Lord just bless you this new year as you walk with him and as you share your life with him, and he just loves you so much. And may you experience that love this new year, 2026. 1 Kings chapter 8. This morning we will be looking at verse 56. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised through his servant, Moses. Well, 2025 is now behind us. We're beginning this new year. One thing that is consistent, I found from year to year, is, you know, you look back over the previous year, that's just 12 months. Usually there is at least one event that stands out where it just seems like your life was, you know, kind of turned upside down. I mean, things can shake us up, and there's usually at least one of those events each year. Now, as a pastor, I'm aware of some of the circumstances, because there are times during those, you know, periods of crisis where people will come and they ask for prayer and they need guidance and they need, you know, to hear from the pastor. And so I am aware of some of those circumstances. We've dealt with our own. We go through periods where there's crisis and where there is some turmoil. And that is consistent from year to year. So I've discovered that in life, my circumstances are variable. I think there's just wonderful blessings every year, but then there are those periods of time. Sometimes it's just a day. It may be a week. Sometimes it's even a month where things are turned upside down. Now this up and down nature of life, it tells us something about circumstances. They are variable. They are always changing. This is uncomfortable to us because, in general, I do believe that we like stability. How many of you would say yes? I prefer stability. We don't like change. We don't like uncertainty. We all long for that which is certain. We refer to certainties as constants. To say that something is a constant means that it does not change. Now, in the field of mathematics, a constant is a value that does not change. In science, a constant is a quantity that does not change over time or across different situations. The gravitational pull of the earth is a constant. If you jump up in the air, you will descend at the same rate each time, because that pull, that's a constant. In nature, there are constants. We know that the sun will rise in the east each morning. Now, if you wake up one morning and you say, well, this morning the sun rose in the west, you better think about, well, maybe I had too many anchovies on my pizza last night. Because the sun, we know, as a constant, it rises in the east. The amount of time that it takes light to reach the earth from the sun, that's 186,282 miles per second. And that's an amazing number. That's a constant. And I'm thankful for gravity. I'm thankful that it is a constant. I'm thankful that I never have to worry about the speed of light or the constants of mathematics. However, as much as I might appreciate those constants, they don't really help me to face those ups and downs in life. But there is a constant that is, it's not mathematical, it's not scientific or natural, and it's the constant. It's what I need the most, given the continual shifting nature of circumstances in my life. And so that brings me to the title of the message, The Constancy of God. God is constant. Now, this is important. In fact, this part of God's nature is so important that God himself has stated that he is a constant. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I do not what? I don't change. For I am the Lord, I do not change." What that means is that God's nature, his character, his love, his compassion, his faithfulness, his eternal purposes, they never change. God is not variable. He does not say one thing and then do another. Now, yesterday, I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to go to the store. I've got something that I want to get. I was planning on going to the store." Now, 10 minutes later, I had changed my mind. I didn't go to the store. How many of you are variable? You change your mind, you know, from one minute to another sometimes. God never changes. James wrote, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning." The constancy of God. What about Jesus? Well, what goes for the Father goes for the Son. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I find great comfort in the fact that though my circumstances are continually changing, God does not change. It is the constancy of God that provides me with a stable foundation on which to live my life. I was actually, as I was going through and developing this message, I was thinking about that song that Dennis led us in this morning. "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." I was thinking that song, and then we sang it this morning. The infallibility of God is constant. The infallibility of God's word is constant. It is the constancy of God that brings stability to every single situation which may seem unstable. That's why there are verses in the Bible that we hold on to, such as Isaiah 26, verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed." Do you know what that word means, the word stayed? Well, it means to be fixed. And I like that, because whose mind is stayed on you and fixed on you because he trusts in you. And what that simply means is that we fix our mind on that which is stable. We fix our mind on that which is fixed. In 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon is reflecting upon God's constancy. The context of this passage is the building of the temple, the building of the house of God, which God had promised to David, Solomon's father. Now, David wanted to build the house of God, but David was disqualified from this service because David was a man of war. Now, during David's reign, they needed that mighty David. You remember it was Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. He was a mighty man of war. But God did not allow David to build the temple, though he desired, but he did promise David that David's son Solomon would be the one to build the temple. Did you know that the name Solomon actually means peace? Solomon was a king of peace. Solomon reigned during a period of time when Israel was really at peace with all of its neighbors. The process of building the temple itself, it was a seven-year period of time. Now, Solomon, he's looking back over time. Now, I started this message just speaking of a single year, 2025, looking back. Solomon, in relation to the ups and downs of Israel, he's actually looking back 480 years. 480 years. And Solomon declares, he makes this affirmation, this declaration. "Over these 480 years, there has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses." That promise was made to Moses 480 years prior to the building of the temple. We read about it in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. This is Moses' prayer. It's an intercessory prayer. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And here's the intercession. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence, this is God speaking. He's speaking back to Moses. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This is God making a promise to Moses that God would not leave Moses. God would not leave the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. God would stay with them. He would be faithful to them, and he would give them a time of rest. And so this intercessory prayer of Moses, as he prays, consider your people. Consider that this nation belongs to you. You know, at times I approach God on the same basis. When I am going through a difficult time, when I'm going through a struggle, I will call out to God and I will say, God, I'm your child. God, I call you Father. You are my Father. And I reach out to God on this basis. It's not that God needs to be reminded. He knows. But it's just me affirming my expression. That's my faith. And, oh, God, you know, I belong to you. And how important that is, that is vital to the stability of my life, recognizing that, you know, I belong to God. My circumstances change, but God is constant in his love and his faithfulness towards me. And I belong to him. Solomon, he's looking back 480 years to this prayer of Moses. And the promise of God was that God would stay with his people, that he would give them rest. Now, 480 years. I want you to think just for a moment. Some of you, you've studied your Bible very well. You understand the history of Israel. You may even understand the history or the events of that 480 years. I want you to think just for a moment. We talk about the turmoil that we face over 12 months. The things, the events in life that stand out to us, and we go, man, that was a rough time this last year. Think about Solomon. He's thinking back over these 480 years. Imagine all of the destabilizing events and the circumstances that surrounded the people of Israel and the nation during that period of time. The children of Israel, they initially refused to believe God about the promised land. Do you know that that generation, the Word of God says, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years until that unbelieving generation died off. There was the failure. Once they did enter into the promised land, there was the failure to drive out the enemies that once inhabited that land, or that did inhabit that land. They did not fulfill God's complete word to them. The result was that Israel was continually at war. There was a period of the judges when Israel lived in this continual pattern of moral failure, followed by repentance, followed by moral failure, followed by repentance. And it was just like this was a repeat for the nation of Israel for this period of time. And during this time, Israel was often dominated by its enemies. In fact, Israel even went through a period of civil strife, civil war. Then you get to the time period of the kings. What about that first king, King Saul? Well, he was just a disaster. I mean, consider Saul for a moment, falling into disobedience. He became a paranoid maniac, and he's the king. There was division within the kingdom. And then there was David's reign, and no doubt David was the greatest king that Israel ever had. But it was not a perfect reign. There was the constant war to secure the borders around Israel. We know about David's infidelity. his relationship with Bathsheba. And then David's son Absalom revolted, and there was insurrection. There was the constant threat of the Philistines, the Amorites, the Moabites. And so we look back over this period of 480 years, and we're just summarizing some of the events as we look back. 480 years, but during that time, there was one constant. It was the constancy of God. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. Not one word. Solomon recognized that through it all, God had never even one time, not even once, he had never failed to uphold his promise. Now here's the good news. You can take this good news with you throughout all of 2026. We're going into this new year. This good news, because God is constant, because God does not change, his nature remains the same today as it was not just 480 years, but now it's now been 3,471 years. That's 3.5 millennia since that promise was made. That promise was fulfilled historically during the reign of Solomon. The nation of Israel did experience that time of rest. They were secure. There was peace. There was the complete absence of war. But that is not the end of the promise. God continues to deliver rest to you and I today. God gives me rest. God gives to you rest. There is a spiritual rest for us today. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden with labor. What did he say? I will give you rest. The promise of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews, for we who have believed, we do enter into that rest. The moment you believed, you entered into the rest that God, it's that same rest. In fact, it's even more. It's even a greater rest. That was a shadow or a foreshadow of things to come. The rest that you and I have today is a much greater rest. I think when we consider the rest that Jesus is talking about, certainly it does not mean the absence of problems. Jesus never said, come unto me and I will fix all of your problems. How many of you still have some of the same problems that you had when you came to Jesus? We would like if Jesus would fix all of those problems. It is our tendency when we become uncomfortable with the circumstances of life that, you know, sometimes we push against the plan of God. Because there are circumstances that God allows and that we want God to fix. And God is like, no, that's part of my plan. Oh, but God, what's going on? Can't you just fix this? What are you doing, God? We ask. And many times we don't understand. And so we ask the question, well, with these issues, these problems, these circumstances we go through, how is it that we find rest in Jesus? Well, the rest comes not from the absence of the problem. The rest comes because of the presence of Jesus. That just simply means that regardless of what the issue is and the problem, Jesus remains with us. His presence never leaves us. It's the rest that I also experience knowing that I am now at peace with God. My sin before Jesus, before I came to him, before I received him, that sin stood as a separation between myself and God. What fellowship is there between light and darkness? The sin in my life is a darkness, and Jesus, the blood of Jesus, cleansing the man from all sin, ushers us back into this wonderful relationship, this fellowship with the Holy God. And so I find rest. There is rest in the absolute submission to whatever God is doing in my life that brings, you know, maybe some pain and some discomfort. But there is a rest when I submit to God's plan. Many of you know that I had a very close friend, my very dear friend. He passed away. It's been just a couple of years ago. And he was a mentor since I was in my early 20s. Just a wonderful man of God. And I would sometimes come to him with my issues and my problems, and I would speak to him just as some of you come to me. And his classic response, he would ask me a question. Is God still on the throne? I'll tell you, that really puts our problems in perspective. Is God still on the throne? Has God left? Has God abandoned me in my trouble and in my trial? And so I find a rest. I discover a rest with the assurance that even when I fail, think about Israel, they failed morally over and over and over, and God still was faithful to bring them back, to receive them back when they turned from their sin. And I think of that rest that I have because the Word of God says that His compassions, they fail not. He is a compassionate God. He understands my weakness. He understands my flesh. He understands each of us. And He never fails in His compassion for us. And I find rest. There is rest when I go into God's Word. I'll tell you, there's such a rest in the Word of God. I get into the Word of God and I'm amazed at how His Word speaks to me. It's alive. And God just has a way of knowing exactly what I need to hear. And He takes me to His Word. And I find rest. I go back and I see how God was faithful to the nation of Israel, not just for 480 years, but you know, you can continue on. Israel is like the model of God's faithfulness. You go through that, you know, year after year and season after season with the nation and all that has happened to Israel, and you realize that there is hundreds and hundreds of fulfilled promises where God has given Israel His word and God has kept that word. And in a sense, it culminates, you know, in the rebirth of the nation, you know, Israel's rebirth in 1948. You know, that had never happened before. It's never happened since. There is only one nation that has gone for the millennia, you know, and has been reborn and has been brought back. God's faithfulness, because God said it and God did it. And then there is the promise of the church. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." And I'll tell you, I'm thankful that He wasn't referring to Peter, even though He was speaking to Peter. God did not build a church upon a man. God built the church upon Himself. Jesus Christ is the rock that we stand on. And you think about the church and all that the church has gone through over the 2,000 years, the persecution, the death of literally millions and millions of Christians. Any normal organization would have long failed, long ago. But the church is built upon the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And as we look back and we think about what about our personal circumstances? What about your circumstances? What is it that you've gone through? And I ask you this question. Though every problem has not been fixed, has Jesus ever left you? Has there ever been a time when you were going through it and God said, I'm no longer a part of your life. You have to handle this on your own. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is there through every single personal trial and struggle that we face. And so I recognize that I am the recipient of that same promise that God gave through Moses. My presence will go with you everywhere you go. I will give you rest. Like Solomon, we can look back and we say, God has not failed with one word of all that he has promised. Can you come up with a single instance where God has failed in a promise? I can't, and you can't, because it never happens. If it happened, if God even failed in one promise, do you recognize that we could not call him God? We could not depend upon him as God, because if he failed, that means he is not perfect. And if he is not perfect, then he cannot be God. But he is God. And there's the constancy of his infallibility. He never fails. He lives up to every promise. And so not only do I look back and I realize and I recognize that God has never failed, I now can look forward and I can say God will never fail in the future. God will not fail me in 2026 any more than he never failed me in any past years, and he will not fail you. Father in heaven, we thank you for your nature whereby you have declared, I am the Lord and I do not change. And we hold on to that. What a relief in life. What an assurance we have that you never fail us. You never fail in your word. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.